Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. It was one of the most serious political battles Israel ever waged. The return of the Sinai to Egypt. Upon the assassination of President Sadat of Egypt and the coming to power of the new government under Hosni Mubarak, there were some questions raised as to whether Israel would give up this prize-conquered territory. Of interest to our study of the future of the Sinai and the land of Egypt is a passage in the Bible that relates to the day of the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 12, we read, I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the Tower of Sinai even unto the border of Ethiopia. No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited for 40 years. Quite an unusual prophecy. Will Egypt become a battlefield of the nations? Could a nuclear-type destruction cause the land to be desolate for 40 years? One book entitled The Death of Egypt states, God pronounced desolation upon Egypt in that day, and it lasted 40 years when it came. It came through the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. However, Dr. Charles Feinberg, a noted Bible scholar, in his commentary says, no such 40-year period is known in Egyptian history. And so it is believed this prophecy is still future. Let's look at the next chapter, chapter 30, and begin reading. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, how ye woeworth the day. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the nations, and the sword shall come upon Egypt. Did you hear it? Egypt here is singled out as one of the nations in the coming day of the Lord to experience war. Now notice verse 8. They shall know that I am the Lord God when I have set a fire in Egypt. Could this fire be representative of a nuclear blast? It's interesting to read a dispatch from a Jerusalem Post correspondent who stated, a group of experts at the UN reported that there were significant indications Israel had reached the nuclear threshold a decade ago. And it's well known that if Israel does not have atomic bombs stockpiled somewhere, she could surely produce these in a very short time. Again, if Israel does not have the A-bomb, we do. Israel was reluctant to go through with the return of the Sinai to Egypt. But a letter from President Reagan assured the Israelis, we would provide Israel with the means to defend itself if Egypt later broke the peace treaty. In fact, one cabinet spokesman said this was the best message ever sent by an American president. He noted, this letter is of great significance with respect to the security of Israel and the Jewish people. Well, as we see it, various forces will come to their doom in Egypt. Look at chapter 32, verse 2, where we read, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Here Egypt is identified along with its leader. Verse 10 reads, Yea, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their king shall be horribly afraid for thee, when I shall brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life, in the day of thy fall. Verse 11 says, For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. Verse 12 says, By the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nations, all of them, and they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt. Incidentally, a sizable peacekeeping force of 2,500 troops, drawn from 11 nations, are in the Sinai today. Their task is to act as policemen in fulfilling the plan of the Camp David Accord to bring peace to the Middle East. Look at verse 26. After describing events in which we see the sword coming upon Egypt, we read, There is Meshech, Tubal, and all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they cause their terror in the land of the living. Ezekiel in chapters 38 and 39 describe an end-time invasion of Israel. We read of armies from the north, Gog and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, marching south. It shall be in the latter days, we read. So here in this chapter, chapter 32, we have a similar description of these same armies being buried in Egypt. Saul also said of these armies, they were a terror in the land of the living. A more appropriate description could we give the band of terrorists. What will happen as a result of forces and armies allied with them seen descending upon the land of Palestine? The Bible clearly tells us they will meet with defeat. Here we see the burial of these troops in Egypt. Verse 15 says, When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, then shall they know that I am the Lord. Richard D. Hahn, in his book Israel and the Nations in Prophecy, writes, The Bible expressly declares that Egypt shall someday turn to God and along with Assyria and Israel enjoy great prosperity in the millennial kingdom. Witnessing Jews leaving the Sinai may be preparing the way for great devastation seen coming upon the land of Egypt. We refer to this time as the day of the Lord, or the time of tribulation seen coming upon the whole world. Our Lord spoke of this, saying, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. Except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Then we read, Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Notice this is also said concerning Egypt. In Ezekiel 32 verse 7 we read, When I shall put thee out, meaning Egypt, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. So as we see it, as we look into the starry heavens, we realize one day the prophecy here will be fulfilled. The sky will become dark. It's after the tribulation period, after Egypt's demise, that we read of our Lord's return to this earth to reign for 1,000 years. As Jesus said, And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. While it is a day of triumph when our Lord is seen coming as King of kings and Lord of lords, we are looking for the rapture and not the revelation. We await our Lord's appearing. Later we'll follow his kingdom. There's been a lot of discussion concerning whether the church will go through the tribulation. In the book of the Revelation, we see where a great multitude of all kindreds and nations and tongues come out of great tribulation. We see the Laodicean church spewed out into the tribulation. But concerning the Philadelphia church of truly born-again believers, we read where the Lord says, Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And so it would appear we have a choice in the matter. The Bible does say, Make your calling and election sure. We might be in the Laodicean church, those who profess salvation. Or in the Philadelphia church, those who are born again and possess salvation. Certainly, if born again, we can look for our Lord to come at any moment to take us unto himself. In 2 Timothy 4:1 we read, Where the Lord comes, he will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Notice again, there are two times when our Lord is seen coming. First, he appears in the air and the saints are caught up to meet him. Then after the tribulation, he comes to this earth to establish his kingdom. Today we are looking for his appearing. Incidentally, Zechariah reminds us when the Lord comes, he will establish his kingdom and the Lord shall be king over all the earth, we read. And as concerns Egypt during the kingdom age, we read, It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Notice, it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen, that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So there you have a picture of what's ahead for Egypt. Events we have described today make us to realize how close we may be to our Lord's return. Again, we would ask, are you ready for His coming? Are you looking for His appearing? In Hebrews 9:28 we read, to those who look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Our Lord came the first time to seek and to save that which is lost. If you have not trusted Him as your Savior, do it now. Then you can look forward to His coming. For when our Lord returns, He will come for His own, those who have accepted Him as Savior and Lord. Pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, I do receive You as my Savior and Lord. Come into my heart and life. Forgive me of all my sins. Then help me to live for You till You come. Amen. Thee be therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.